I am a reluctant gardener. The seasons conspire against me here in Central Virginia in the winter when I should be planting the vegetable garden, pruning shrubs, and tidying the lawn. I crave the quiet of indoors where I hibernate in between bursts of outdoor activities that take me into the woods or by the river or to the tops of ridges. Much the same happens to me in the springtime rush, a time of not enough time, when I am called by the waters to paddle rivers bursting with green while the weather is still tolerable. For sure, when spring emerges, I do spend a few days tethered to the lawn and plants, affirming my environmental responsibility to this city acre and my good fortune for having land at all. Summer, when vegetables want thinning and harvesting and weeds go to seed, I am retreating to any place removed from the heaviness of humidity. By the time fall rolls around, I vainly try to make up for lost time, tidying and raking in anticipation of winter. This is a roundabout way of saying that I have not yet done anything about the invasive plants in my yard that I boldly named a couple of summers ago on this show, the English ivy and the bamboo that I inherited when we bought our home, and the others that I actually planted before becoming enlightened to the issue of native versus non-natives. My yard boasts not one but two fire bushes that I planted. Now over 7 feet tall, their little green buds forming round and ready for spring, and the large and small-leafed privet, whose fragrant blossoms provide a welcome olfactory memory of summers on Cape Cod. Well, we actually planted more to balance the ones already there. Folly, I now see, as sprigs emerge uninvited amidst the quince and holly. I'm resigned to periodically pulling the ivy from its ascent up tree trunks and pulling the privet from where it is not wanted. I will, with time, find replacements for the butterfly bush, also not native to our region. And I will continue to cope with bamboo roots running underground webs across the upper lawn. But what is really troubling me this season is that I now realize that the sediment that smothers the life of our river and its tributaries comes not just from fields or pastures or construction sites. It also comes from city lots like mine, where the lawn has become patchy or the piles of sand and mulch from an old garden project lie open to spring downpours, or the border of the driveway reveals a gash of red Virginia clay ready to become runoff. There is a slope of land at the front of our house, between lawn and street, where I spent our first years of living here painstakingly removing the English ivy and the poison ivy to give room to periwinkle, whose sweet blue flowers and lush evergreen seem to tidy our yard and match our cottage home. But I now know that this too is a non-native, an imported ornamental that is hardy precisely because it has found in our climate optimum weather and minimum ecological constraints. The irony is that while the poison ivy would not have been easy to live with, its white berries are food for many species of birds, one of the best reasons for choosing native over non-native plants. So my quandary is this. I want to replace the vinca with a native ground cover, but I know that doing so will expose a slope of soil that is rich and poised to wash right into the storm drains on its way to the river. And to prevent this will require from me careful planning, silt fencing that I must tend with vigilance, and a healthy crop of good luck and good timing between seasonal rains. As a reluctant gardener, I wonder if my commitment to environmental stewardship will sustain me through the effort of transforming my yard. The best I can do is pay attention to the questions and hope, to paraphrase the German poet Rilke, that I will live into the answers. This is Leslie Middleton. Please join me next week at this same time for another installment of the Rivanna Rambler. If you have questions or comments about this show, please call 924-0885 or visit wtju.net.